Big Ten football championship game is tomorrow night in Indianapolis. We'll hear from Matt LePay of Wisconsin and Greg Sharp of Nebraska. 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, good Thursday afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. Or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Horse Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline open tonight at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. 335 today. Ben Jones, statecollege.com, wrapping up the Penn State football season from his perspective. We're also going to San Diego. We're going to talk to one of the Penn State women's soccer players as they get ready for the College Cup, the national semifinal. They will take on Florida State tomorrow night at 8:30 for the right to go to the national championship match. That's all coming up today. Tomorrow, we're going to have Kristen Carpenter on from women's volleyball. And also tomorrow, Matt LePlay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin, and Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska, giving their respective perspectives on the Big Ten football championship game. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Now let's get ready for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. I know Kevin has some interviews that he wants to do today, high school football-wise. We'll also have Ben Jones, statecollege.com, in the 3:35 hour. Then we're going to go to San Diego at 4:06 and talk with Erica Walsh, the head coach of the Penn State women's soccer team, because they're playing in the Final Four of the College Cup against Florida State tomorrow night. Did we lose you here?
No, I'm with you. I've been with you the whole time.
I know you want to talk to the Danville coach.
Well, yeah, Jim Kaiser is going to be with us here in a few minutes. I'm also catching up on Wilton Lopez not going to the Phillies, as it would appear. I'll give you the
once again
on that.
We jinxed that one.
Yeah, didn't we though?
But Jim Kaiser's on the line right now. So, Jim, welcome to the show. It is great to have you on board.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Coach, one of the things... go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, one of the things that really impresses me about your team, Jim, is the fact that you have five seniors on this team?
Yes.
I mean, the way these guys have been playing here, especially late in the season, has to have you very, very, not only optimistic about the way this season's going, but also the future for the Ironmen.
Oh, absolutely. These kids put a lot of work in. They came up as freshmen, the five kids that we have. There were three of them that actually came up. Two of these young men just came out last year. But yeah, they put in a lot of work. They were here in 2010, and they got a taste of it, and they're really hungry, and they're leading this group.
You had a young man that's playing wing, halfback, wide receiver, cornerback. He's 5'6", 153. And I'll tell you what, he's been a big part of not only the offense but the defense lately. Cale Rice has been all over the field.
Oh, absolutely. He's a great young man. He's a very hard worker. He's one of the hardest working kids we have here. And, you know, great speed and defensively does a great job technique-wise. And he's just an outstanding athlete.
You know, a couple of weeks ago in high school, it's rare to have a really solid kicker, and you're lucky enough to have a sophomore in Shane Riley that plays soccer and has some availability for the games on Friday night as well. But we talked a couple of weeks ago. You said you're good from 40. Are you still feeling comfortable from 40?
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable from 45 and on now. You know, in practice, he's been with us now since the soccer season's been over, and he's been pretty consistent from 47 to 50.
You know, the way these running backs have run, you've been able to really take control of games. And you're playing a team this week that has done that with about 400 yards on the ground alone in Wyomissing, an undefeated team. What do you see in this Wyomissing team and how you match up with them?
Size-wise, actually, I like the matchup. We probably match up with them better than we have with anybody all season long. But speed, they have a ton of speed. Their offensive linemen move real good. They have three backs who can fly. I mean, just flat out outrun anybody we have, I think. Cale Rice is fast. I think these three kids are about the same as him. And, you know, the 162, 225, it still runs like a 4.5 40. So, yeah, they're very, very, very impressive.
You know, you mentioned the fact that for the first time and maybe all season, you match up very well size-wise. It is not a Danville roster that is huge. A couple of guys around the two zone, but for the most part, a lot of these guys are quick, and that's been your big difference defensively, especially, is your speed up front.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big factor in the Mount Carmel game, and we may outsize this across the front. It wasn't even close, but our linebackers really fly to the ball and gave them some fits up front because of their speed.
Obviously, turnovers have been a big factor in the last couple of weeks with Athens and, of course, last week with Mount Carmel, both on the positive and negative side. What have you talked about this week with your team involving, you know, trying to keep control of the ball and make things happen on defense with turnovers?
Well, it starts here with us. I stress ball security with the kids. You know, we can't be putting the ball on the ground. We're not built to come back from 2-3 touchdowns down. We have to be able to hang on the football. So yesterday we did a lot of ball security drills with the kids. And defensively, we just tell the kids, you know, and they've done a great job at it. Pass coverage, the kids do a great job of reading and playing the pass very well. And when we hit people, we're trying to wrap up and the second guy in, trying to get the ball. And, you know, we've been pretty successful with that this year.
Coach, talk about the development of Weston Baylor, your junior quarterback. I mean, kind of put into the spot, doesn't really have that prototypical quarterback build, but he's really developed a nice passing game, or a nice arm and good reads in the type of passing game you run, running out of the wing tee.
Well, our quarterback coach and my offensive coordinator, Chris Coon, does a great job in developing quarterbacks. He's been here since Jeremy was here, and he's worked with all the quarterbacks that have come through here in the last 9 years and has done an outstanding job with every one of them. And Weston's really taken off under his tutelage.
You know, last year it was Andrew Andrejczyk who could throw the ball all over the field. You kind of had to change things up a little bit as you brought Baylor along. Where do you see yourself offensively compared to where you were last year with the veteran at quarterback and so forth?
Well, I think we're about about even. You know, we've been fortunate to have Sammy Dressler back there for 2 years now, and Isaiah Kroll, and they're both putting up similar numbers that they did last year. And Weston's putting up similar numbers to what Andrew did last year, but not with the big arm. He's done more with the short passing game and us making runs after the catch.
I'll tell you what, Steve, one of the things that impressed me, like I said earlier, is what they do with five seniors on this team, and this team has really grown a lot this year.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, for you, Jim, the maturity shown by your younger players, how impressed are you by that maturity part, especially as you've advanced through and these one-and-dones seek out maturity?
The kids, like I said, most of the seniors are with us for 3 years, so they've really been great mentors for the younger kids. You know, and Sammy and Eric and a couple of the other kids right now that are seniors have been with us for 3 years. So, you know, they've been around some of the older kids, and they've seen what it takes to do what we've been doing, and they've really followed suit, and it's just an amazing thing to watch.
Coach, how many of the kids still have the Haney Hawks left?
Actually, none of them. The Haney Hawks are all gone.
Are they all gone already?
Yeah. Eric has a half of one right now, but I think come Saturday morning we'll see quite a few of them.
Last year the big thing was Eric. I think it was Eric's mom that actually cut everybody's hair into a mohawk, but it was a little bit wider than normal, so it got nicknamed the Haney Hawk. Is that the story?
That's absolutely true, yeah. she usually does it Thursday night after her spaghetti dinners.
Really? Is that the time to do it? I didn't realize it was a timing to this thing.
Oh, yes. After they get done with the dinner on Thursday night, they go over to Eric's house, and his mom sits him in the chair and gives him the Haney Hawks.
How long does it take? Do you know what the average is to do a Haney Hawk? Is it a minute, 2 minutes?
Nope, I never asked him.
When are you getting yours? When are you getting yours?
Well, actually, I told the kids if they won districts, I would shave my head bald, so I'm working on that right now.
You got a good start, like Jim.
Yeah, but I was already there, halfway there. I figured I'd go all the way.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, good luck. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. Thanks for the time you gave us, and you are certainly doing the area proud, without a doubt.
Well, thank you, guys. It was nice being on the show.
Hey, remember, last one out of Danville on Saturday has to turn out the lights, because I think that's the way it's going to be down at Hershey.
I hope so.
That's fabulous. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Next half hour, Ben Jones, staycollege.com. Great to have Jim Kaiser on. What a great moment for the town, isn't it?
Oh, and you know, the town has really, really come and supported them over the last several years. It's been one issue after another with Danville and the school district with the flooding and then the closing of a school. Then they have to reopen a whole bunch of other schools. I mean, this has just given them a chance to really get behind something and get excited about something. As a matter of fact, the middle school that isn't being used anymore because of the flooding a couple of years ago is actually the site of a pep rally on Friday night. So because the game's on Saturday afternoon, they're going to have a big bonfire over there and hoping to get everybody in the community there Friday in the evening there around 7 o'clock.
That's terrific. And we have Selins Grove.
You know, Selins Grove is – and these are two teams that actually – ironically enough, Steve, these are two teams that are in the same league together, the same division – faced each other earlier this year and still have been able to continue on into the state playoffs. And so, as we've talked about yesterday, it really shows you the strength of football, not only in District 4, but in the Heartland Conference as well, with those two teams from the same league in the playoffs.
And it absolutely. But it says something about the quality of football. And this is what people always wonder, you know. Hey, I'm going out on a Friday night, I'm supporting my town. How good are we? Well, you're finding out they're really good.
Well, it's a tough test with this Wyomissing team coming up at Hershey on Saturday, an undefeated 13-0 team. And as I said, last week came out with 400 yards on the ground on 40 carries. That's a first down every time they touch the football.
All right. Well, so that's what we have high school football-wise. Penn State basketball, tonight we will have for you Patrick Chambers from Damon, 6:05 to 7 o'clock. And it's the All Steve Jones Thursday. I know you enjoy those.
Did you get a chance to get the whole game in last night without having to take a nap? I know it was a late night for you. I was worried.
Yeah, but I'm doing afternoon radio now. I'm not doing morning radio.
That's true.
It would have been a real issue if I was doing. I mean, it's for so many years. Literally, I did morning radio for 21 years. And I mean, there are so many times in the wintertime where I would travel back from Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, whatever it happened to be. And, you know, if it, you know, you're a hostage as to what TV tells you. And TV tells you the game starts at, you know, 8 o'clock local time, 9 o'clock Eastern. You're not going to be back till 3 in the morning. Then you go to work. Now, Penn State basketball next week has to play a 9 o'clock game with LaSalle on NBC Sportsnet. You know why? It's no hockey. NBC Sportsnet needs programs.
They need something to go to fill the gap.
No, they have no hockey. They informed Patrick Chambers by text at halftime of the Wisconsin game. They're moving it. That's how late the move happened.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Let It Be Solar hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Let It Be Solar. You can go to letitbesolar.com. Always great to have Rick Weibel on every Thursday. And as a guy you trust, look, you're going to do what he does. You have to have some that you trust, put your best interests at heart. He does that. All right. Kevin, say hi.
How are you?
Okay. Good hearing from you.
I do what I'm told.
Oh boy. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You have to get ready, by the way, for the big prediction segments coming up tomorrow.
I'm actually doing big more homework. More
homework?
Yeah, I want to be a little bit lighter than I was before.
I mean, first of all, Sarah does it through research, commitment. I, you know, kind of work my way through, do the best I can. I mean, your method of using a dartboard just is not...
It's going to work one of these times. Don't worry.
You're destined to fail.
Listen, I used to pick by the color of their uniform, so this is a step up.
Oh, please.
Thank you, Sarah. All right. The one part of the triumvirate I have not mentioned is the Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I saved that for last because now we're joined by Ben Jones here in the Sunbury Motor Studio from statecollege.com. Ben, as always, great to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's try and put a bow on this thing. What did you just think in terms of a pure football game, regardless of who was playing? What did you think of that football game on Saturday?
That's a heck of a football game. I mean, you know, that might even be understating it a little bit. I think it had everything that you look for in a game. You know, touchdowns, a comeback, overtime, good crowd, dramatic storyline. You know, you can't ask for anything more, I don't think, from a game.
The awards, the way they played out. Maudy ended up linebacker of the year. Barnes, freshman of the year. Robinson, receiver of the year. And Bill O'Brien, coach of the year. Anything surprise you in this whole thing?
Not really. I saw a lot of people had the whole Urban Meyer, Bill O'Brien conversation last night. And certainly I think you can make the argument either way for either of those coaches. But I think in the end, it makes sense to me why Bill O'Brien gets coach of the year. You think about the sorts of things off the field he had to go through and the things that he was able to do on the field. I mean, the transformation of Matt McGloin in and of itself, you know, was something to see. So I think he deserved it. But I think I saw it. It's been 33 years since an Ohio State coach has won Big Ten Coach of the Year.
I know I at one point voted for Tressel.
But I saw that from some writer last night that it's been that long, that they have like an incredibly long drought over the span of undefeated seasons and national titles with no Big Ten Coach of the Year. But I'd have to...
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. I find it hard. Jim Tressel won a national championship. You would think that he, you know, as Big Ten champion, obviously that he would have won Coach of the Year that year.
Evidently
he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Monty and Robinson are, you know, I don't think there's any argument there, especially Robinson led everybody in all sorts of categories.
Yeah, when it comes to Ohio State, I think the perception always is they have been able to garner more talent than everybody. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, John Cooper wasn't going to win it. Earl Bruce wasn't going to win it. You know? And Woody would have threatened him. So that's how that would have happened. Give it to me or else. So now you hit this period of time.
Earl Bruce did win it in his first year.
Yeah, 1980. Yeah. 1979, I mean. Mm-hmm.
Was the last Ohio State. Yeah. 79, that was the last Ohio State coach to win it.
Yeah. Because Woody Hayes had hit Charlie Bauman of Clemson in the Gator Bowl in 78. Earl Bruce then took over, and I think he led them to an 11-0 regular season. And then had a series of 9-3s after that.
What year was the national championship for Ohio State?
2002.
Kirk Ferentz won it that year with Iowa.
Well, that's because Iowa tied. Iowa and Ohio State were both 8-0 in the conference that year. That was the reason why. They didn't play each other during the year, and Iowa went 8-0, as did Ohio State, a 2-8-0 team, so that's why. All right. Now, in talking to players, give me an idea, and I asked Tony Mancuso about this earlier as well. Give me an idea, some of the personalities that may have, along the way, surprised you just a little bit, you know, as to how outgoing they were, the insight they gave.
I think a favorite guy to listen to that we've mentioned before, Stephon Morris, has always been a good interview. And he's not a new face. But I would think, I don't know, the Super Six have been a lot of fun to be around. You know, they have varying levels of quotability, but, you know, they usually have a good story between the six of them. Those have been interesting guys. And those guys will be the core of this team moving forward for years to come, assuming that they all stick around. And at this point, you know, you can make arguments for different players and the opportunities that they might have. But, you know, as we stand today, they're all, you know, still part of the team. And those guys, assuming that they're all here, are going to be important moving forward. So they've been fun. It's interesting to talk to Ficken because he's been through so much. And I think he's handled it pretty well considering the sorts of things that he's had to go through. And, you know, I don't think there was anybody that wasn't glad to see him kind of come full circle by the end of the season to make that kick. So that's a nice story as well.
You've broken a fair amount of stories on your own over the past year, especially. Give us an idea. You don't have to be specific about individuals, but what it takes to cultivate a source so there ends up being some trust between you and that source.
I think it's important just to talk to them like they're normal people. Especially, you know, I know more basketball people than I know football people, but they, you know, if you ask them how their day is going, what they've been up to, things that aren't necessarily on the record, but just conversational, then you sort of build a rapport with people. And as you go along, you know, they might come to you when they hear something or know something or want to tell you something, and you might be able to work that into a story. And certainly, you know, not everything they tell you will end up being a groundbreaking story, but, you know, you might have a little bit of insight that you might not even be able to work into, like an actual, he told me this, but you can write things with the knowledge of what people have told you, just like lead people in a direction without necessarily saying Bill O'Brien said X, Y, or Z. And I don't have, you know, Bill O'Brien's not calling me late at night to tell me breaking news. I can assure you of that.
He's not calling anybody late at night for breaking news. I mean,
he's going to Atlanta and telling people that he's. Did you listen to that radio interview yesterday?
I have not. Yeah. I have not.
It's funny.
I have not. But he's. There are no openings in the NFL. I mean, technically, I mean, we can speculate all we want about who's going to be gone, but there aren't any openings.
There will be one. Guaranteed.
I understand that part. I understand that part. All right, but is it open?
I wish.
Oh, you're just the lowest level.
I don't boo players when they're hurt on the field or cheer them on when they're hurt, so I'm above that.
That's an interesting standard to live by. All right, so, I mean, I know he said it, but, you know, and I guess his agent talked to somebody from ESPN as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be something that people are going to have to get used to around here on one way or another. You know, Bill O'Brien's, for all intents and purposes, seems to be a pretty good coach, and he's the Big Ten Coach of the Year, and he hasn't made it a secret in the course of his life that someday he'd like to coach in the NFL. And I think, for the most part, Penn State fans haven't really had to deal with people wanting their coach. I mean, Joe had over the years opportunities to go elsewhere, but it wasn't in the Twitter age where every time someone's name comes up in a coaching search, everybody knows about it in a split second. So do I think Bill O'Brien's going to go anywhere this offseason? Honestly, don't know. I would be really surprised if he did, just based on what I think about the situation that he's in and the sort of person that he is. But, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, if he gets through the sanctions and, you know, Penn State's, you know, having 8-9 win seasons and an NFL opening comes up, you know, does he take it? It would depend on the team, but I wouldn't be surprised. And I think that might be something that people have to come to terms with at some, on some level, that you can't have a heart attack every time Bill O'Brien's name comes up.
It's a different era. It's a different era. Different time, you're right, they have to get used to it.
And I think if they play well enough and they get through the sanctions and are more or less the same sort of program that they were going into it, I think people might appreciate what he's done enough to let him go. Not to say that they wouldn't want to keep him, but there's a certain...
Oh, no, they'll want to keep him.
They'll want to keep him, but it would be a different sort of, I wish he would stay, than if he left next week.
Right.
There'd be a different...
But we'll see how time plays out. See how his family plays out. We'll see how much they like the schools. And there's a lot of factors that go into it other than, oh, good, I get to coach the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And as time goes, those factors change. And that's what we have to see is, you know, what changes over time. Right now he's recruiting. That's what he's doing. He's recruiting.
He's in Adam Brenneman's house tomorrow morning.
So he's looking at Brian's looking for the Bill O'Brien interview. Here it is. He's still looking for it right now.
I think it's at the 9:50 mark left. I don't know if you can hear me.
Was this on with, I'm going to say, is this with Wes Durham yesterday? Well, he's still trying to find it, and when he does find it, we'll have it. So, all right, so now moving forward with this, what are some things, some storylines that if you're drafting some potential storylines, okay, let's keep an eye and see if this pans out or doesn't pan out, what would they be?
I think the most obvious one is just does the roster stay intact until practice starts next summer? That's the big one, because otherwise it's just, you know, profiling players, recruits that are coming in. You know, are they going to redshirt Christian Hackenberg? Are they going to play him? How good is Steven Bench, you know, being the only quarterback on the roster in spring practice? So all of those things are going to play into the offseason storylines. And in a more traditional sense, you're going to look back at, you know, how effective was the offense? How does that compare to previous years? You know, just sort of regrouping after football season the same way that you would had it been a normal football season.
The way things panned out this year with coverage of the team, writers on Wednesdays had an opportunity to go in with TV people, some radio people, to see 20, 25 minutes of practice. Did it give you a better feel for what was going on?
Yeah, I think it's always good to see the sorts of things that they opened up the doors to. We kind of joked by the end of the season that we had to hurry up and get over to Lash for our exclusive stretching observation because, you know, you're not there to see them run offensive plays and learn stuff, and that makes sense. But it is neat to see how the coaching staff interacts with each other for the limited time that we're there, and how they warm up and how they practice. And it's good to find out who's injured, who's not practicing. You know, Jordan Hill for the longest time would stretch with the team and then just sort of stand on the sideline. And certainly Jordan Hill is the kind of guy that doesn't really need to practice. I mean, he needs to, but he's nursing bumps and bruises, and stuff like that's interesting to see. And I think people, it might seem normal to people like us that are around the program a lot, but people that don't have that opportunity really enjoy hearing about things like that, even if it's not, you know, earth-shattering on a national sense.
Matt McGloin's season, he didn't end up with any honor in the Big Ten. He could get the Burnsworth Trophy as the top walk-on to scholarship player. Your thoughts on the season he turned in and the work that he put in within Bill O'Brien's system to make it happen?
Oh, I think he had an exceptional year, especially if you look at how he played all of the other years leading up until this year. You know, he was just able to really thrive in Bill O'Brien's offense, and Charlie Fisher and Bill O'Brien did an exceptional job getting him ready for each game. And certainly, you know, there were things that I think he hit his ceiling on, not to say that he played poorly, but there were games that he just couldn't handle everything that was going on. Some of the pressures and blitzes and stuff kind of flustered him. But, you know, if that happens to you, you know, it happened against Ohio State, and that's not necessarily anything to be ashamed of. I think he did a good job redeeming himself in a lot of fans' eyes. Not that he necessarily needed to, but I think there was a perception of a quarterback there that didn't necessarily exist for a long time. And I think his ability to move the ball up and down the field all season and throw limited interceptions and even fewer interceptions that were explicitly his fault. There were some balls that bounce off people's hands and got intercepted. I don't think that he could have thought of a better way to end his career here.
This is Bill O'Brien yesterday in Atlanta talking about his future at Penn State.
Oh, I plan on being the head football coach at Penn State. You know, that's my plan, and that's what I intend to do.
Bill O'Brien.
That was it. Pretty simple.
Yeah. And during the season, though, he was focused on one game at a time, so he was focused on that. Now he can focus on talking about other things as he goes through. And so, set. Who was your surprise of the season?
Probably Matt Lehman. Or Kyle Carter, either of those guys. You know, went above and beyond what I think people expected. It wasn't a secret that Bill O'Brien was going to make tight ends part of his offense. He said that from the get-go, and anybody who watched the Patriots over the past few years knew that that was coming to State College. But to see them be able to do that as well as they did, I think, was really impressive. And obviously, Zach Zelenak is a guy that, you know, most fans probably had never really heard of coming into this year, and to go from someone who probably a year ago didn't think that he would get any carries this season to, you know, having 100-yard games over and over again to finish the season with, I think he had 79 yards against Wisconsin. You know, that's something that you can really hang your hat on because it's not easy to run the ball against Wisconsin. It's really not easy to run the ball against, well, some Big Ten teams it is, but, you know, I think Zelenak and Lehman are two guys that really stand out in that front.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. StateCollege.com was with us all football season long. We appreciate that. And, Ben, thanks a lot. Appreciate that so much. And putting a bow in the season like that. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Erica Walsh from San Diego, next half hour. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. You can say hi here, Kevin.
Kevin's lollygagging around. I don't know where he is.
Sarah, thank you so much for hanging in there and being a part of the show while others are taking care of number one.
Absolutely.
We'll continue with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable, and we do all of the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from RAW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. RAW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome back, Steve Jones, Sarah Bartlett. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com.
Sarah posed a very interesting question during the break. Is who's the top-selling jersey as of this month in the NFL? Whose jersey is, I should say.
Robert Griffin III.
Thank you.
Oh, why did I not know that?
You had
why did I? I went everywhere else but that one, and I should have known that one.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh.
Brilliant.
It's RG3.
That's correct.
Beat out Peyton Manning.
See, Kevin?
I figured it had to be a Raven. That was the only reason.
No. There are no Ravens on this top 10 list.
No.
I can understand why.
Okay. There's one Steeler. It's your boy, Troy.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played in how long?
Well, at least the jersey's clean.
By the way, Ben's still holding out hope, but it looks like Charlie Batch may be the starter next on Sunday.
Charlie Batch is starting Sunday. Ben Roethlisberger's not playing.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not going to play.
He's still holding out hope. Hope is waning.
It's not happening.
Hope. Steve went to sleep on us. Listen, I there was a time where I would say if Charlie Batch is running the offense, I'd feel comfortable for a game. But this isn't the same offense as it was 2 years ago with Charlie Batch running it in a fill-in role. I just don't think the Steelers have another quarterback that can run this offense the way it's set up right now.
Yeah, well, actually, this offense is better suited for Charlie Batch to run.
You think? Well, he can't throw more than 20 yards, though.
Exactly. That's what this is. Do you watch your team?
I watched it, but every time he threw the ball, even 10 yards, it was nowhere near him.
90 to 95% of the throws are under the umbrella.
Okay, the umbrella's leaking.
Well, they get Antonio Brown back, so at least they finally have a professional receiver.
You're not a big Wallace fan, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, he has now played the last, 18 games of his career like he's mentally going through mud.
I agree.